It's good to be here. I know we've sang that Newton song. Go ahead. Go ahead. I know we sang it here in this church somewhere in the last 50 years. It may have been out of the old Baptist hymnal. Did we check that one? Did you? Huh? Yeah. 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 Okay, turn your Bibles to Isaiah 26, and we're going to look at a few things right here this morning that I know's in the Bible. I know it's in here. Isaiah 26, verse 1 through 3, Prophet says, in that day, keep that in mind, we're going to talk about that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah, or Israel, or Palestine, or Canaan, will be sung by all the saints of God, who will be drawn from out of every nation, and drawn together to worship the King. I'm not reading. You don't have that there. I'm just adding that. But that's scripture. Here's what we're going to sing. We have a strong city, a strong society. That's what that means there. A strong gathering of people. Every nation. They've been called by our King out of every nation. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. And this is what we're going to sing. Open the gates. Open the gates. That the righteous nation. Shall come in. The righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace. Yeah. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Keep him in perfect peace. We'll sing about that one of these days. Doesn't matter who agrees with it or who disagrees with it. There'll be a nation of people that have been redeemed from all over the history of this world, drawn to Christ. And we'll have our song to sing. We're going to sing about peace. And be no chaos, be no confusion, be no turmoil. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Isn't that going to be wonderful? It's be a wonderful day. So this text here, it's a prophecy, but a prophecy of an inspired song to be sung in the coming day of the manifested victory, the manifested victory of the atonement, the salvation, redemption, the blood-bought redemption of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. A song about his cross and what the cross accomplished, what it's done. And those people that gather together in this particular setting here will rejoice to sing that song. There'll be no disassembling here. There'll be no disagreement here in what's going to take place. And it's going to come together and worship the King. Give glory to God. God's done all this, and he's did it for a people. He never made a mistake. He accomplished everything that he intended to accomplish through his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody's going to rejoice in that. It'll be a good day of rejoicing. Those that refuse to sing it will not be allowed in. You believe that? That's what he says here. Gates are only going to be open to this righteous nation who have kept the truth. Who have kept the truth. That's important too. Who have kept the truth. The truth. So it is the song of holy praise, in which the great things of God, which God had engaged in. The previous chapter will explain it to you a little bit more. You need to read that. And it incorporates into this chapter here. Chapter 25 and 26 go together. This is his redeemed people. And against the song will be sung against his and their enemies. That's what it's going to be, a victory, victorious song. You know, Christ won the victory with one word when he hung on that cross, and everything was accomplished. And he bowed his head, gave up the ghost, and he cried, "It's finished. It's finished. It's all over and done with." There's four things here in these two or three verses. Four things predicted here. A day. A strong city. An access. Open ye the gates. And an undisturbed peace. Undisturbed peace. Boy, I tell you what, you could just sit down and just meditate on that the rest of the day and end the day with great rejoicing in your soul. You would. You'd have a wonderful time with the Lord and just sit down and think about what he's promised you here as his child, as his precious child. Well, let's look at it. In that day, that's the day of the gospel he's talking about. We're in that day to some extent already. But my dear ones, let's think about this. The gospel day is not completed yet. It's not over with yet. Sometimes we think it is, and sometimes somebody tells you it is. But it's not completely over with yet. It's got a finishing part to it. And just like the cross work, when Jesus cried, "It is finished," from the cross, there's coming a time when this day will be complete. And I don't think we're quite there yet. I really don't. I don't think we're quite there yet. So there's more to come. There is more to come. Our blessed Lord Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. He said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations." For a witness unto all nations. "And then shall the end come." So there's more to come. There seems to be a little bit more to come. So be careful now. Don't look for the rupture or the rapture. Just wait a while. And let God finish his work. And it'll be all joyful when he does. All joyful when he does. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22, it says, "And ye shall be hated of all men." Talking to these same people here, us, we who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are walking after him, trusting him, and believing in him with all of our hearts. Yeah. He says, "In this gospel of the kingdom," which is involved here, "and ye shall be hated of men for my name's sake." For my name's sake. But that, those that endures to the end shall be saved. You know, there's a lot of things going on today. I don't buy into it, but I think some people are, though. They got this new, what they call this, cancel culture. They're trying to cancel everything. They'd really like to get down to the point where they cancel everything you believe. Get rid of that. Get rid of this idea of Jesus. You don't need that. You don't need that. That's just not good for you. It's a hindrance to their movement. And they'd like to cancel that out. They'd like to cancel out the idea that there's something better out here after this world's over with. Because they think this world's it. This is it right here. If they can get this thing wrapped up like they have an idea it should be, then they won't need nothing else. Won't need you, won't need your children, won't need nothing else. Everything will be just fine. I don't buy into that. I don't buy into anything that's absolutely transgresses the teaching of this Bible here. And there's so much of it in their minds that does that, I'm sure of. Well, I might raise a question here. Why are you hated? Well, you're hated for your relentless identification with Jesus Christ and his gospel. They don't like that. They don't like that. That opposes humanism. It opposes everything that the humanistic movement has purpose and plan and intends to accomplish out here in this world. So this world will never really love you until you give it up. You give that up. Anybody here convinced that you can't give it up? Huh? Is that where we are? We can't. Can you give it up? Can you give up identifying with the one Lord, the one Christ, the one true God, and his blessed truth, and his God? Can you give that up? I don't believe I can. I really don't. I think maybe I'd probably just say, kill me. I'll die before I'll give that up. I really do. It's put me, and not put me out of my misery, because I'm not miserable, but put me out of your misery. And just, because I can't give that up. I'm identified with Jesus Christ and his blessed truth of the gospel. Now, let me give you a word of assurance. There is a number no man can count. A number that it's just, you don't have a calculator that'll reach the end of this thing. Scripture says this in the book of Revelation. John saw that number. He said, I saw a multitude, an innumerable multitude that no man can count. Only God knows who they are. Only God can give you the correct figure of how many makes up that number. And those will endure. God's going to see to it that they will persevere, that they will keep on keeping on until this thing is complete, until it's over with. He's going to see to it until the end. And to that end, they shall sing this song. Scripture said this. He says, but that on the good ground are they. They're founded on the good ground. You remember that parable about the ground, the good ground, the bad ground? And all that parable that Jesus gave us in the 13th chapter of Matthew. Well, the good ground is where these people camp. They camp on the good ground. They maintain a good stand on the good ground, and they keep the truth. And it says, which is in an honest heart and a good heart, having heard the word of truth, they keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. Romans 2 and verse 7, Paul said this. He added this to it. He said to them who by patient continuance in well doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. 1 Corinthians 1:8, Paul said this. He said, for He says, who shall also confirm you, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you in well-doing, confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we could add this, but Christ, out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 6, but Christ, as a son over his own house, and I like this, whose house you are, whose house you are, over his own house, it says, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. And this, we could add this, for we are made partakers of Christ. Partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Steadfast to the end. It's a matter here of us holding on, isn't it? Just holding on, holding on. Don't give up. If the whole world comes against you, teams together against you and demands that you give it up, don't do it. Don't do it. They don't have the authority. I'm speaking here of one who does have the authority, and that's my precious Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, just hang on. Hold on to it. Hold on to the confidence that I have given you. Don't let it go. Hebrews said in 10:39, I like this, we are not of them who draw back to perdition. We are not. We are not. Of them who draw back to perdition, that's destruction. No, sir. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hanging there with it. That's what we're being taught here. And so we got the promises here. We got the blessed confidence that Christ has given us. The assurance that we might rest in what he said. To rest in it. And then he says here that this is what we'll sing about, a strong city. You see that again there? He says, he says, we have a strong city. Verse number 1. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Yeah. We have a strong city. And he says, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 through 13, the Lord Jesus Christ tells you about this strong city. And he says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he began to ask his disciples these questions. Questions on what this thing's all about. And he said to them, he says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And one of them said, well, somebody says you're Elijah. Somebody says you're maybe John the Baptist. Some are saying you're Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? I want to know what you say. He's talking to these people that we're talking about right here. He wants to know what you say. What you say, and what you say, and what you say, what we say about him. He's interested in that. And he's interested in us being so firm with this thing, we will not deny it. No way in this world can we deny it. We say, we know who he is. We know who he is. Well, Peter, being the appointed chairman of the apostolate, he spoke up for the rest of them. He said this, you are the Christ. You are, and there's a definite article right there. You are the Christ. The Christ. That was important. You know what the definite article is? This is right here. This finger right here. That's the definite article. That's the pointing finger, isn't it? It's what we point with. And when we're trying to make a point, we point with that finger. This is right here. This is what I believe. This is what The scripture says, and I rest on this point right here. And Peter said, you are the Christ. The Christ. Yes, sir, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said, you're right, Peter. Blessed are you. You're right, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And it is. It's a revelation. It's a divine revelation that you get from God in out of heaven. Believers get that divine revelation. And that's the reason once they get that revelation and are settled in it and have the confidence that God gives them with that revelation, the assurance of it, they can't be moved from it. True believers cannot be moved from it. And he goes on and says, and I say to you, Peter, you are a rock. But I'm not talking about you. He said, I'm talking about the rock of revelation that God's given you, who I am. And you have come to a conclusion that I am that rock that you believe and trust in and stand on. And that's the very rock that I build my church on. That's right. That's the rock that I build my church on. And I'm going to tell you something else about that rock, Peter. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we could put it in these words. The gates of hell shall not prevent it. Cannot withstand it. Talking about his church. Built on the rock. Immovable. Well, it'll be here when every man that denies it and hates it and despises it and does everything to remove it, it'll be here when they're all gone. And only you. And only you remain. Believe that? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you, you don't have nothing to be ashamed of. You don't have nothing to back off from. Stand right. You believe this? Stay right where you are. Just stay right where you are. And I could say this. Withstanding all her tribulation, all her trials, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, his precious body, she will persevere to the end. She will. She will. Individually and corporately, she'll be standing when this thing's all over with. I can say also, I believe she is an incorporated city. Using Webster's definition, and Mr. Webster didn't miss it very often, he takes this word incorporated here, and he said that word means mixed or united in one body. United in one body. Associated in the same political body. United in a legal sense in one body. He said that's what that word incorporates means. Or incorporated means. And so I say it's an incorporated church. Incorporated body. She's strong. My, she's strong. She don't give up. She don't compromise. No, sir, She's convinced that this is the thing and the way. And without it, there's no other way, no other way. A whole lot of folks don't believe that, do they? The church is full. The world is full of people who believe there's other ways. But But Jesus said, no, not so. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. I am the way. And his people are united in that truth. They band together. And they're built together in that, in the fabric of that truth. Now observe this. This is blessed also. It says over here in the text, it tells us in this song, as we start out the second verse of the song, it says in verse 2 of the prophet's text here, open the gates. Open the gates. So there's access. There's access into this blessed body, this corporate body to Christ. You can get there. You can come in. Hey, open the gates. The gates are wide open. I don't have any doubt about that. The gates are wide open. I know we sang a hymn a while ago by Fanny Crosby. I think I know what she's talking about. I don't know where she... didn't have space to put all the doctrine in there. She just said, open the gates that all may come in. Well, that's so. Open the gates that all may, but there's a difference in may and can. Yeah. Used to in the old days, when the teacher, sometimes you had to be excused, and you say, I need to go to the restroom. She's, can you say, can I go? Or may I go? She never let you say can, but may I go? And she would say, well, you may if you can. And she's the one that gave the word whether or not you could or couldn't. If you had permission from her, the teacher, or him, the teacher, you could go. You understand what I'm talking about? Well, you can enter in. You can enter in if he gives you the power and the permission, the word. So it says there is an access here. Open the gates. Open the gates. The Church of our Lord Jesus Christ stands wide open, I say again. Wide open. But here's the thing. Her distinctives seem to turn people away. Her distinctives. Number one, it said over here that she's a righteous nation. And most people don't like that idea in the context of what righteousness means here in the scriptures. She's a righteous nation. It turns a lot of folks back. And then it also says that as a righteous nation, in the context of what he's placing her in, which keep the truth. That turns another bunch off. Uh-huh. Some folks just absolutely will not bow to that point there. Keep the truth. Well, that's what Jesus set up when he set up his church down here. She's the vault. She's the casket that keeps the truth. It's all bound up in her. She's the very foundation of the truth. Isn't that what we're taught in the scriptures? The very foundation of the truth. You can't divorce her from the truth. Truth and the people of God go together, hand in hand. They're in one mind and one accord concerning the truth. And the truth is all about Jesus Christ. All about Jesus Christ. So those are two distinctives that keeps the world away and out of her society. Two things, I say, distinguish her. She's a righteous nation. and she keeps the truth. So he said, open you the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth shall go in. Pilate, you know, he had Jesus before him, holding kangaroo court. Matthew chapter 18, he says to Jesus, he says, are you a king? Are you a king then? Well, Jesus answered and said, you said it. You said it. I am a king. I am a king. And to this end, he said, was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. To the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. That's what you heard. You were elected to the truth as part of that righteous nation before the world began. And when you heard the truth, you heard the voice of Christ. You couldn't turn it down, could you? You're bound to it. Yep. Then Pilate asked this question in a sarcastic way. He wasn't really interested in information. He was just despising somewhat the truth that Jesus was referring to. And as he started out of Gabbatha's hall there, left him with the guards that were to beat him with the rods, over his shoulder, he sort of, in a scoffing way, says, what is truth? What is truth? Well, let me tell you a little bit about what truth is and what Jesus had in mind here. What Scripture said. Truth is what this Bible says about God. Are you listening? Truth is what this book right here says about God. I believe what this book says about God, don't you? I have no problem with it. And then secondly, truth is what this Bible says about Christ, the Son of God, the Redeemer of sinners. I believe every word this Bible says about Jesus Christ. I believe it when it says there's salvation in none other. There's none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. Do you believe that? That's what the Bible says. I believe when I read it says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I believe that, don't you? I believe when Scripture says Jesus is the way, truth, and life, I believe that. There's no other way. There's no other truth. There's life in none other. All in Him. And then, truth is what the Bible says also about God, or about man. God, Christ, and man. Those three things. We need to think about those. The Bible says that I'm lost and undone and without hope in this world. The Bible says that, doesn't it? Right, I believe that. My hope is not in anything that I am or can do or will do. But my hope is in Christ alone. I believe that. He's my hope. So, again, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the vault that keeps the truth. But to keep it, you know, you must first obtain it. Obtain that truth. And I tell you what, the more valuable to you, the more you guard possession of the truth. That's so. Proverbs Solomon said this in Proverbs 23:23. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. What's he saying there? He said, whatever in this world it costs you for the truth, purchase it. And don't give it up. Keep it. Keep it. It's your ticket to glory. It's your way out of this world into everlasting. What does he say down there in verse number 3? You will keep him, talking about him who buys the truth, who gives everything, sacrifices everything for the truth of Christ, the truth of the gospel. Yes, sir. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. All right. Think about these things. That's all I got to say. Just think about it. May God help you to understand them and see the absolute necessity and the importance of them. Amen. Okay, Steve, come and close us out with a song.